black helicopter crowd notion.
The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
It's nursing. They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Black helicopter crowd really is upset.
The people are stupid and they're drunk. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I am a man of peace, but we have gangsters running this country. Criminals, gangsters.
We're normal. We see total criminal takeover, the death of freedom.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history. I'm trying to awaken people, but look at the morons around you.
They're zombies.
You are joining the online studio. You are unmuted and can speak with the host.
What's good, guys? What's up, everyone? Andrew Robinson, also known as President Zen 1, here for the WBHN podcast, and this is episode 158. This is another emergency broadcast during this global pandemic. Everyone's prepared for this quarantine to go on for quite some time. We're looking at another few weeks at the very least of these draconian restrictions, as they call it. Everybody's in New Jersey. Nobody's out past 8 p.m. They're prosecuting people with disorderly conduct offenses. We'll see how long this goes on. It can't go on forever. The cure can't be worse than the virus. So just a couple quick things. But anyway, so what is this? What are your thoughts on this, folks? How are you handling the quarantine? What are some things you're doing? I'd love to hear from you. I got the PS4 on in the background. I'm going to play some Fortnite. I've been doing my work from home, but I really am missing getting back into society. I really miss it, and I took it for granted. But this quarantine, this restriction of movement, this disease, this virus, has the hospitals filled to capacity. But let's look at some headlines, some stories, maybe some good news. So we're going to talk about a few articles today here on the podcast. Good news. Scientists say coronavirus does not undergo significant number of mutations. This is in a Daily Wire by Hank Berrien. This was just put out yesterday. So scientists studying this virus have some good news. It's transmitted rapidly through the human population. It's not undergoing significant mutations. So it's not undergoing significant mutations, which means once a vaccine's developed, it could be as effective as a measles or chickenpox vaccine, which I think a lot of people would agree that those were successful, quote-unquote, good vaccines. So Peter Thielen, a molecular geneticist at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, one of the scientists examining the virus, he told the Washington Post, I would expect a vaccine for coronavirus would have a similar profile to those. It's great news. More than 1,000 samples of COVID-19 are being studied, and there's only between 4 to 10 genetic differences between the strains in America and the original virus. The original virus that came from censored, we don't want to say where it came from, but the Chinese city of Wuhan. So that's a relatively small number of mutations for passing through so many people. So it seems like this would be a single vaccine, not like a new one every year like the flu is. So they're testing that now. We'll see. That's going to be hopefully some good news. Here's another one. Wow, I'm getting my stuff from the Daily Wire today. Same article, same author. Death rate drops for second straight day in Italy. According to Italy's Civil Protection Agency, on Monday, the number of deaths reported from the coronavirus, COVID-19, dropped for the second straight day. 602 people were reported to have died on Monday, with 4,789 new cases reported. On Sunday, it was 5,560. So we could see, and 651 deaths. So we could see a noticeable decline. So it peaked there, it seems, at least in this first wave, We'll see if there is a second wave, like some of the fear mongers are saying there are going to be multiple waves, which is entirely possible. So that's good news for Italy. Finally, their numbers are starting to drop a little. Can't wait till our numbers drop in New Jersey and New York. Because our brothers and sisters in New York, they are hit hard. And we're sending prayers out to them here at the podcast, me and others as well. Sending prayers out to everybody. We hope everyone stays safe. We're waiting for these numbers to drop. We're waiting for people to get the equipment they need. The hospitals to get the equipment they need. New York's hospitals are flooded. New Jersey, even we're getting flooded here as well. And they're not testing people for this virus unless they are exhibiting many symptoms. You can't just be asymptomatic and get the test. Unless you're Hollywood, but that's it. Unless you're a politician, but that's it. And here is perhaps my favorite article. Yet another Daily Wire. I see what they're doing. They're putting out some positive news on the coronavirus crisis. That's why I'm tipping my hat to them. I like Ben Shapiro. This is by James Barrett. Nobel laureate, why coronavirus crisis may be over sooner than many think. Stanford biophysicist and Nobel laureate Michael Levitt says, based on how this crisis has played out in multiple countries, the threat is less severe than the media has portrayed, and it might be over sooner than most may think. I'm going to put all these articles in the show notes. I've been meaning to do that. So I'm going to start with this episode and do that. Quote, the real situation is not nearly as terrible as they make it out to be, Levitt says. And in the end, we're going to be fine. Unquote. Levitt, who accurately predicted the slowdown of coronavirus cases in China, has been making rounds with various media outlets to discuss his findings on the most recent data from nearly 80 countries. Like several other experts, Levitt maintains that the threat is less severe than many reports make it appear. Is it bad? Yes, we know that. Some of our most vulnerable citizens, who are indispensable, our youngest and our very oldest, we care about them. We want to keep them safe. We're going to do what we can to protect them. We support that. I think I can speak for a lot of people with that. In a report published in the LA Times on Sunday, Levitt assured the public that the world and the U.S. are going to survive the COVID-19 pandemic, and that it has occurred in countries first hit. They survived as well. And some of these other countries, it's well into the decline, like Italy, I just mentioned, which was hit hard. So the cases of the virus will begin to decline more rapidly than some are projecting. Think about it, folks. People may have had this anyway months ago before it was reported, and so they're not being counted in any of the statistics, and they may already have recovered from it, or they have. And people that have it now that are being reported, and let's say somebody gets reported today a positive case, they might have had it days ago. So out of that 2-week time period of having it, they're almost halfway through the battle. So still, it can, you know, some people have died in New Jersey. I believe 44 is the current number. I want to double check that to make sure it's accurate for March 25th, 2020. But we gotta, I don't know, folks. If somebody's getting testing positive today, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have it for 2 weeks. They might only have it for a week and a half. Somebody may have it today and not experience all the symptoms. All right, Levitt explained the number of new cases, not the total number of cases. The new cases data allows one to see more clearly the rate of speed. It's basically what I'm just explaining or explicating. He also explained that only when a virus is not being detected will it spread exponentially. So as long as countries are testing and responding aggressively, the growth rate decreases significantly. So New Jersey is aggressively fighting this. New Jersey is aggressively testing that for this. So is New York. So even though it seems like this part of the country is getting, on the eastern seaboard, is getting hammered, we're actually doing okay. Fears are being overblown because the media is focusing on the total number of cases and the famous people. The flu has infected 36 million Americans in just 6 months and killed 22,000. Look at that. Let me peek out the window. Look at that number. Monzingo. Who the hell is Monzingo? Joe Monzingo from the LA Times. The flu has infected 36 million Americans in 6 months and killed
22,000.
COVID-19, 40,000. And the deaths nationwide are about 500. So we got to still follow the same precautions to keep this thing in check. And we also got to remember, we got to keep the flu in check. We got to still keep these things in mind. We got to be coughing into a tissue, into our arm, washing our hands. We got to work on this hygiene. It's very
important,
according to Levitt. It's very important to underscore the importance of populations and government not allowing panic to determine their response to the pandemic, and stressing most people will remain healthy and humanity will survive. That is why I cannot listen to people like Alex Jones, people like the mainstream media, like some of these politicians that are fear-mongering. The biggest concern in the U.S. is the hospitals being overwhelmed. That's bigger than the ultimate death toll, because the people that are in the hospitals filling them up for coronavirus is taking resources against other sicknesses that have nothing to do with coronavirus. So that's why it's such a big deal, because it's putting a strain on the hospitals, and that in and of itself, can cause more death as collateral damage related to the coronavirus COVID-19. So we don't, you know, there's things we don't want to collapse. We don't want the healthcare system to collapse. We don't want the economy to collapse. And one last news article, I guess I'll leave you on. Prevention expert: data shows our fight against the coronavirus may be worse than the disease. Another Daily Wire article by James Barrett. In an op-ed for the NY Times published Friday, David Katz, founding director of Yale Griffin Prevention Research Center, suggests, quote, our fight against coronavirus may end up being, quote, worse than the disease, because we're taking an at-war approach to fighting this. Widespread shutdowns, isolation of the entire population, rather than a surgical strike, we're using blunt force. Now that is my term. So if we're not using a surgical strike, as what their term is, now I'm giving my quote, that means we are using a blunt force approach, when we should be focusing on the really, really vulnerable. The very young, the very old. We have set ourselves on the path to, quote, uncontained viral contagion and monumental collateral damage to our society and the economy. Yeah. And I'll just give you this quote, and we'll kind of run through this article. It's a lot, so you're going to read this on your own. I'll give you the links, but yeah, you can go two different ways with this. You can have a surgical strike, or you can use blunt force. The surgical strike is more effective, I would say, It is more efficient. It uses less resources, and it's working smarter, not harder. The unique nature of the COVID-19 is it results in only mild symptoms in 99% of cases, and it really only poses a high risk to the elderly. So that is easy to contain. So I'm going to just give you that article as well. One last thing, actually. I keep telling you one last thing. There was Switzerland. I do want to just briefly point out Switzerland's is taking the opposite approach. If I can find the article, I'll put it in. But from what I remember, Switzerland isn't imposing any draconian measures. There's nothing. They're only... PSA to the country is be responsible. And they don't have the kind of infection rate that you would think they have for a place that has no draconian measures implemented. You know, be responsible. Be aware and be responsible. My last, very last story of the day. NewJersey.com. Doc took off gloves, shook my hand, and said I was fine. Turns out I had coronavirus. This is by Rebecca Everett. 4 days after... Let me give you a little backstory. I live in Neptune. I used to live in Bradley Beach. I used to live in Ocean Grove. I grew up in Ocean Grove with this gentleman I'm about to report on, with his brother. Come to find out, my cousin is good friends with him. Not the one I grew up with, but his younger brother. Alright, so this is somebody very, very close to here, and I actually live right next to both of these hospitals, actually. 4 days after coming down with the flu-like symptoms, Nick Tango, 32, found himself isolated in a room at Monmouth Medical Center with medical staff wearing protective equipment. A round of flu tests, chest x-ray, found zero. And he was told he didn't meet the criteria to get tested before coronavirus. The doctor came in, popped off his gloves and mask, and then said, shook his hand. I said, I thought, you know, he shook his hand. I said, you're all right. He thought it was weird, but he's like, okay. And in fact, he said later, a later test at Jersey Shore University Medical Center, where I live less than a mile away from, I live right down the block from it, verified he did have the virus, and everyone he came in close contact with within that 10 days in between that, including that ER doctor, was exposed. The test results were further delayed. He said because JSMC, Jersey Shore Medical Center, lost his test kit, the hospital didn't respond to a request for comment. So on top of his frustration with the medical system, Tango said he was dealing with the rumors and stigma of being infected with the virus, even though he recovered and is no longer contagious. After posting about it on Facebook, which I read, I had the post, he posted it on his Facebook. My cousin reposted it. It's actually better. I'm not saying anything bad about this article, but it's a little more descriptive and more well-written in this. But after posting on Facebook about it, that post I told you about, well-written, one neighbor commented he shouldn't go outside in our complex because it's just not safe. That stigma. Oh, you had it. Oh, you have it. Stay away. It's like, I'm recovered. What are you talking about? So that's what I don't like, the stigma that this is creating. But Tango was home, self-isolating most of the time between falling ill and getting his results. But he said there was one day, March 9th, he went back to work because the doctor at Monmouth Medical Center told him he probably had some other virus and could work as long as his fever was gone for 24 hours. When he finally found out March 20th that he had the virus, Tango, a market manager in the liquor industry, had to call everyone he'd been in contact with March 9th. That was embarrassing. NJ, New Jersey, just like the rest of the U.S., has dealt with testing problems. Defective tests, shortages in these test kits. Since these cases were first discovered, these have been reoccurring or continuous problems. And while testing restrictions have been eased somewhat since then, they're still not testing everyone. They got to test the most vulnerable, the most symptomatic. But they're prioritizing people who had serious symptoms or underlying conditions. He believes he caught the virus at a trade event in NYC with many international attendees. On March 4th, he spiked a fever and felt run down, though he never developed respiratory symptoms, thank God. When his fever came back March 7th, he decided to go to an urgent care center. He said, "You know your body," quote, "I knew something was wrong." Urgent care staff referred him to Monmouth Medical Center in Long Branch, where I work. Normally, if he wanted to be tested for coronavirus, staff at the medical center took him seriously, he said, but when a test for other flu and virus strains were negative, staff told him he still didn't meet the criteria to be tested. Wow. 3 days later, he went to work because he was feeling better, but he said his fever, nausea, exhaustion, and mental fogginess came back at night. That's when he decided to seek out testing at Jersey Shore. They lost his test. This seems to be repeating and going in a circular story, but he had to go there. He had to flip out on them. He demanded answers. As they said, his samples were lost. He needed to have another test taken. He couldn't believe it. His results came back a week later, long after his symptoms had gone away. And it was bad. His wife. We'll skip her. And Monmouth Medical Center won't comment on individual patient cases. Anyway, there you have it, folks. That's your coronavirus roundup with some good news and some survival stories. I'm going to edit this podcast, get it out later today. Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back real soon. If you're interested in checking me out streaming, I'm going to be streaming on Twitch, Real President Zen 1. Play some Fortnite. We could talk. And other than that, we'll be dropping podcasts almost every day during this quarantine. So, folks, please stay safe, be responsible, wash your hands, and be strong. Be strong. We're going to get through this, and we're going to come out on the other side stronger than before. So, I love you, all right? I love you, the listeners. So, please, I'll be sending prayers. Take care. Until next time. I'm Andrew Robinson for Black Helicopter News, signing off.